By the way, students, those of you who are mine anyway, y'all have your cell phones off. All right.
Good.
Adrian Matika's collection of poems is called The Devil's Garden. Here. The title poem describes a place inside the Craters of the Moon National Monument in Oregon where, quote, volcanoes, compacted trees, turn soil into crust so thick only brambles try rooting. The missionary who supposedly and accidentally named it wrote, quote, such a forlorn place must surely be the devil's garden. It is an apt title for the book, as Adrian Matika's garden is full of the forlorn and desolate. An angry energy fuels poems that depict growing up part white, part black, part Indian, and seeming to fit in nowhere. Growing up in neighborhoods full of brawlers and shotgun murders, nods to Langston Hughes and early lessons dealing with the man. If you ask my students, that would be me. But Adrian Matika's garden is also filled with more things than forlorn desolation. The poem, Her Gardens, is full of sex and orange rinds and moonlight, and Me in the Garden of Music sings of Ornette Coleman and John Coltrane. Music, and mostly jazz, resonates through this poet's first book. As our good friend and Carbondale neighbor Rodney Jones best puts it, quote, Adrian Matika plays the language like a horn, with a cool inventiveness and bravura phrasing, yet his poems are as notable for their humanity as their flourishes and riffs at the borders of expression. Adrian Matika's poems have appeared in Callaloo, Gulf Coast, Indiana Review, Painted Bride Quarterly, a whole bunch of them. His first collection of poems, The Devil's Garden, won the 2002 New York New England Award from Alice James Books. He was recently hired by the University of Southern Illinois Edwardsville as an assistant professor. Let us please welcome one of the newest members of our own St. Louis literary community, Adrian Matika.
Got some finger snaps in the back, right on. Hey, thanks so much. It's really great to see all of you. And hold on. Just as importantly, thanks to all the folks from SIU, C and E, for being here, you know, representing. Thanks to Richard and Michael and all the people from Rustix for inviting me. Since he brought up the man, I'm just going to start there. It's great. this poem is y'all know who the man is, right? I mean, it's Richard, but it's other people too, right? You know, because he's a different kind of basketball playing, savvy kind of man. This poem's called English Bee. I had to be introduced to the man. He was around before 1977. I just couldn't see him like air or welfare. My mom told me, no matter what you do, the man is going to try and keep you down. I already knew no one was keeping me down, so when teacher asked me to read from kaleidoscopes, I told her, back off, white woman. I'm not reading your books. She laughed, but understood when I threw my book, covers flapping like man's first scraps with gravity. Teacher understood no one was keeping me down, so I got sent to remedial English. When I looked up remedial, the dictionary read, the man questioning your authenticity. Then I looked up authenticity. Dictionary definition, blackness. So I was authentic, and the man could keep his remedial. Problems began when I realized my mom was the man, too. Picture this, 5'2", curling red afro, white with a power fist pumped up in the air. Then, half black, half white boy, sitting on the stoop counting pieces of glass, trying to figure out how not to keep himself down. That's from The Devil's Garden, by the way, I should say that, to plug myself. Anyway. This poem is called Autobiography as Language, and my mom pops up in a lot of these poems because she's almost like a fictional character into herself, you know. She felt bad for it. We were really poor, but she felt bad for everybody else, too. So she would give our little bit of nothing to other people. And, you know, it really pissed me off because I was hungry, you know, and she would make... And so there were these Mexican kids that used to beat up on me all the time, and she would give them lunches, you know. And so they'd come over and be like, hey, you know, and take me around the corner and kick my ass while they ate jelly sandwiches, you know, that my mom made for them. Autobiography as language. Blame military life. Family scuttling from Los Angeles to Germany, back again before my words could find the vocal fold of English. Blame the bilinguality of chance, German first, ham-fisted umlauts, non-negotiable consonants stacked by the hubbub of need. Blame the new neighborhood, four parts Mexican, no parts half-blood. Or blame me, cardboard color heavier than a sneaker in the back, fist that makes the jaws clack. If the Mexicans bum-rushing me before school was bad, my mother making them lunches was worse. You know they don't have any food, she said, pushing me out, peanut butter and jelly and tow for Alex, Chucho, and John, brawlers who would rather swing than understand why I looked like them but sounded like the man at the newspaper stand. Blame pain, turning everyone a ripe shade. Language comes before crawling. Blame that. So maybe one more from The Devil's Garden, and I'll read some new stuff. This poem is called Want, and, you know, I want a drink. You know what I'm saying? I gotta hang on to this myself, homie, but it's called Want, and I just figured I would make a list of everything that I wanted, and, you know, that can be a long list, but to fit it on two pages, I just stuck with the stuff that sounded kind of cool. Want. Bass lines like fat men squeezing into third grade desks. Coltrane squealing right before I was born. If not, a pill that makes the music in my head stop immediately. Then I won't know what I'm doing. I want the similar words hyphenated by minty fresh breath. What good are words if no one will listen? I want a Wayback Machine so I can fix everything. I want William Shatner, circa 1967, as guest host for my 8th birthday party. I'm wishing for mandibles to clip the staccato lilt, mandibles for tailoring a new dress. My woman, she needs one. Then I want X-ray vision so I can ignore that dress I wished for. I want irrefutable skin like Luke Cage, hero for hire. In the semi-embarrassment of silence, I want to understand why Goya used spoons to paint instead of leaves. If nothing else, I want a map with the exact location of the crossroads so I can believe what I never should have known. I'll read some new stuff. Richard mentioned that I'm like a big jazz head, but I've been working on this manuscript about an MC who's no good, so he decides to become a poet. I don't really know what that says, but I thought I would read some stuff from that. You know, maybe it's a little bit too autobiographical, you know. So I thought I'd read a few poems from that. This poem is called Language Mixology. Half-brother of the same halves, semicolons fancy for absent, like banging means good, or off the chain means good. The same way off the hook forgets the phone, I'm forgetting the space between Oregon and North Carolina. Daylight savings time and the addition of the izzy. So silly that suffix, verbed, black face for black folks. So here you are, bouncing verb sans face paint, like empty rooms bounce echoes, the mulatto question, a question of remixing our name or re-envisioning our cliche like Bones Malone saying, life is beautiful, it's just the shit in it that's fucked up. Over and over, looped like a fish hook. Didn't he know the piano is a necessary part of any mulatto blues? Black key for one woman, a white key for two women. You should be writing, and that combination is feminine. We got a disputed lineage, like Arizona before Estevancio named it. We got all kinds of folks acting like Estevancio. Get it? Mixed man states weren't called states, but the pedigreed mountains and high-styling lizards were already in place. It just occurred to me that I should have explained that Estevancio was this black guy who supposedly discovered Arizona when the Spanish were, you know, doing their exploratory thing. How do you discover a state, right? Gelato Ego remix. This is a hell-bent invitation to my other ego, that hybrided trait grunt, that warble of sum and funk, a swole thing, a mixing thing, browns and browns, whether skin or feather. Can I say that? Where skin meets feather, the last night's spill is left over, like wine on terry cloth or anything made of pleather, brown skin doubled and dubbed together. Redundancy, hobnail from the hook inside the craw, mixed beets is all straw, like the meat inside the scarecrow. Ego, use a silly Jim Crow creeper. He's a dark peeper in the glee club. Vin Diesel or Ben Harper before the name change and the shaved head. Syndication time, they call it dub. But name calling is thingification. No matter what white folks say, no matter what black folks do, remixing the letters and the name like a convocation doesn't rearrange the phonetic frown, because misnaming is mismanagement. LaToya still means a female toy. The same way a turkey wasn't heard as tasty turkey until Estevancio christened it an ugly peacock. For all those colors couldn't protect it from being a meal, all that red waddling couldn't keep the turkey out of season. Foul language is still foul, and ducking is called ducking for a reason. What's turkeying? So maybe two basketball poems for the ballers in here, and then I'll finish up because I don't want to keep you from getting to the bar and getting that drink or whatever else you might want to do. I took some time off from playing ball, like 5 years while I was in grad school in Carbondale, and it is hard to come back. You know, I came back and I was all of a sudden that guy who was always fouling and elbowing and all the stuff that I used to get mad about when I was younger. So I started writing some poems about it. And this poem is called Synth Composite Basketball, No More Fundamentals. Check out Allen Iverson and his Jim Braid retroactivism. Cross handles handle over because a hand can forget how to stay sober. A hand can forget how to handle like microwaves don't remember to pop the corn. Now that's a neck-to-neck schism even without the gold teeth. They call it a crossover, but I like tats and funk. I like overpriced throwbacks since before crunk. Mollicized, not for ball. In champs, they only play hip-hop and everyone is going pro. These boys be Newtons confused, going up with no return trip, up toward the half-moon backboard, up past the full-moon back dap until the ball is postdated by some intergalactic bitch slap. Not in my house, says the middle-ager at the Y. These boys be one less chapter to read in science books. These hops be invalidating gravity's flow and push. These non-pollsters sitting on dubs, riding circles like that bus full of criminals in the Method Man video. White boys watching and-one videos. Can I not get a run? Where's the lift, the rotation of the ball moving like hand-polished rims that keep their spun even when the car stops? You know, this is all coming from the guy that can't play anymore. See, that's how it works, right? This poem is called Synth Composite Basketball, No More Leather. This sorry ball, mulatto of homemade leather and rubber and now named a basketball, hyperventilates from concrete to palm like a little kid bitched out on timeout. The bounce bounces according to pressure and rotation, but this isn't basketball. Even with punks jumping high enough to shoddy physics, even with jams revisited as athletic shorts. My basketball has defensive stance, two hands on the rock, jumper elbows and angles like nose characters on the boardwalk. Socks up and short shorts. Rust makes my hand hurt, butts jumpers and lungs. But all my theories and historic stamina left at the Gus Macker, me and my team almost won. No I in team phonetics left on the outside courts at Ben Davis High School, where dudes talking that when I balled in school, got Statue of Liberty by Terrence Stansberry or shook by Vern Fleming's behind the back dribble. That's basketball, as pure as Dr. J saving Pittsburgh. Or the actor formerly known as Jimmy Chitwood hitting the game winner even though he got cut from Cathedral's varsity before Hollywood. He couldn't make the same team we beat like Rock'em Sock'em. That was before I was rubbing a half-moon gut under a half-moon backboard in an elementary school parking lot. Back before touching one toe, then the other, needed a mat. Basketball works like carbon dating on spine and handles, not love handles, hands trying to work the dribble with something missing, the same way a bad comic tries to work the funny. All right, two more poems and then I'm out. This poem is about Eddie Hazel, the great guitar player from Funkadelic, who just sort of got, I don't know, nobody paid attention to him. So this poem is called Maggot Brain. Jawbone used for a washboard, scrape of knuckles, whelped skin from washing bumps, from washing needles or mosquitoes, fish rail rails, maggot brain, teeth clickering the long dream, click of brain, click of mouse trap on the four-fingered way down, click. That's what happens when George Clinton says, play like your mama just died. Everything else becomes a handful of stomach aches, maggot brain. The cavity of a jail cell smells like everything a man wants gone. Not funky, but nasty. Not nasty, because nobody's trying to shank you in the shower. Just a big time out with bologna sandwiches and bad fruit. Jail's a mouthful of twitches and aches, maggot brain. Ain't you supposed to ride atop of this mess like some triplicated heart? Ain't that extra chamber below the frets in charge of breathing? I hear that thing wheezing like a breath still trying to breathe. Maggot brain, somebody, someplace is losing a mama right now. Go, maggot brain. Go, maggot brain. So I had a request, which is always a treat since that makes like three people that know any of my poems in my book, from Jason to read Understanding Al Green. Which is great because I like to read the poem, and more importantly, it's a true story among a bunch of false ones. Understanding Al Green. When I was 12, a wiser 16-year-old told me, if you really want to get that homeboy, you best be bringing Al Green's greatest hits. And if you ain't in the mix by song 5, either she's dyking it or you need to reevaluate your sexual orientation. You know what I'm saying? With those words, I was off. Borrowed Al Green in the clutch in search of that thing. Socks pulled up to my neck, a curl. Real tight Georgetown Hoyas jersey was nothing but regulation, and I knew I was smooth, and I knew I was going to be in the mix by song number 5. The whole walk from the ball court, the wise man's words echoed like somebody's mama banging on the door. The panties just be slipping off when women hear Al Green. Slipping. Slipping because Al hits notes mellow like the silk that silk wears. It's sorry. It's all the hard work and nighttime things. It's not fake breasts, but it's you and your woman squeezed onto the couch while the aquarium stutters and frosts beside you. Nine off on a drizzly day when you know you should be at work. The first smoke after a glass of fine wine you know you can't afford. The point is, nobody, not woman or man, knows how to handle Al Green. That girl from Ipanema would have dug Al. Her panties would have been flip-flopping right there by the sea. That sexy that passed the far side by would have stopped to say what up if they were Al, but they weren't. And neither were you last night at the club when that woman shut you down with I got a man, blah, blah, blah. Hate to tell you, player, but she's at Al's place right now asking for an autograph and maybe a little something, something. What is something, something? I don't know, but Al knows. And I'm sure you've heard that old jive about Al getting skull and grits thrown on him. You got to recognize those as lies because he would have started singing and those grits would have been in the mix too, for real. I never believe that old pimp to preacher story anyway. The point is, Al's voice is like G-strings and Afro wigs and trying to be quiet when your parents are at home. The point is, Al Green hums better than most people dream. Thanks.
Thank you, Adrian Matika.